Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 1 Chronicles with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through 1 Chronicles chapter 22, where we see that sometimes we can find ourselves in a spiritual slump. And in today's study, Pastor Dave encourages the believer in this state to stand up, get to your feet, and respond to God's call on your life. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 1 Chronicles chapter 22.
Be rich. You got to imitate inventions? Yeah, I just don't want to be rich. No, you should be rich. Get rich. God's going to use you. The kingdom needs riches, needs money. Okay? It's the love of money, the obsession of money that's the root of all evil, not money. God's blessing you with brains and ingenuity and favor in the world. Get rich. And then give it to the church a little bit. You know what I mean? And let us spread the gospel and build balconies and expand buildings and give Bibles out and build orphanages and dig wells. Like there's a place for it. Just what has God done in your life? What is he doing in your life? What is he showing you? Use it for the glory of God. Use it for the glory of God. David's filthy rich. You understand that? He's expanded the nation of Israel to over 60,000 square miles at this point. He has subdued all of the enemies of the nation. They are subservient to him. That's how he's got all these materials. He's going to have billions of dollars of gold and silver that he's going to give to his son. So much brass that they can't weigh it to tell you how much it is. Just insane amounts of materials. And he just gives it. Here, build the house of God. You got masons. You got these guys over here that are cutting down trees. Everybody do what they're supposed to do and watch and see this thing get done. It's going to be amazing. Whatever it is, just do it all your heart. Stay in your lane. Run the race to win. He says, I'm going to make preparation. No, I know what I'm here to do. So he prepares, end of verse 5, abundantly before his death. He's old, but he's zealous when he's old. Don't lose your fire, those of you who are more seasoned in years. Like, let the Holy Spirit light you on fire tonight. I love seeing Vic. I hate to put you on spot, Vic, but I'm going to. The Bible says, let another man praise you, not your own lips. So I'm going to praise you for a minute. I see him at the gas station the other day. Jesus loves you on the side of his car. I come outside today to grab something for my truck, and his car's in the front. He's here wanting to do some project. He doesn't stop. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He's got Jesus loves you on the side of his car. He's pitching it to the guys what he wants to do here to fix our parking lot because there's humongous divots, if you haven't noticed, everywhere. Just doesn't stop. Zealous in his old age. You should be zealous in your old age. We're not supposed to get colder for the Lord. We're supposed to get hotter for the Lord. And so he calls Solomon. He's like 70-something years old right now. And he calls Solomon his son, and he charges him, verse 6, to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David says to Solomon, he says, my son, king to king here, father to son. He says, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. That's what was in my heart. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, you're not going to do it. You're not going to do what you wanted to do. You have shed blood abundantly, and you've made great wars. You're not going to build a house unto my name because you've shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, instead, a son's going to be given to you who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all of his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon. You guys know what Solomon means? It means peace. He's gonna bring peace. He's gonna enjoy a season of peace. And I'm gonna give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He is gonna build a house for my name, verse 10. And he shall be, God says this, my son. And God says, and I'm gonna be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. So let's pause for a second and ask ourselves this. Do we care who gets the glory as long as the work of God gets done? I mean, you work at Paychex, you work out in the world, you work somewhere, you're the mastermind behind the whole thing, and then all of a sudden, It's like you're the IT guy, you're the smart guy in the back, and then you give it to the salesman, and he's the one who gets all the praise because he sells your product. And in the world, in the flesh, it's easy to get like a little bit of a chip, an ego, that like it's like, man, I'm the one who's back here staying late. Everyone's gone from the office. Sales guy's out to dinner with Joe Schmo. I'm back here, you know what I mean, just wrestling. My eyes are burning, staring at the computer screen, trying to figure this thing out. And then he goes out and he sells it and he makes commission and gets all his money for my product. And that's the world's mentality. But in the kingdom, the Lord will challenge us sometimes. Sometimes he'll say no to you about what's in your mind, and he'll say yes to somebody else to do what you wanted to do. And there's a challenge to us tonight. Like, will we be able to be like David and say, okay, God, you told me I can't do this, but I'm not going to just pout about it and go and whine in the corner. I'm going to just adjust a little bit here. The game plan here didn't work, so I'm going to do this here that I feel like you are calling me to, that you are leading me to. Are you willing to do that? It takes serious humility. It takes serious humility. And the thing is that God calls people to just different things in different seasons. Do you see that? God goes like this, David, you can't build a house because you're a man of war. But wait a minute. Him being a man of war is what God used to give Solomon peace. Are you tracking with me right now? David, you can't build a house because you've been beating everybody up in the neighborhood. But it's because David beat everybody up in the neighborhood that Solomon could come on the scene and have peace. It's because David beat everybody up in the neighborhood that the neighborhood now has expanded to a size that has never been expanded to before, nor would be again, even to this day, 60,000 square miles. It's expanded so greatly, and all of the booty, the gold, the silver, and the brass, is gathered in. Even the iron, if you were wondering how they get the iron from the Philistines, all that's brought in so that Solomon can do what David wanted to do. You see how God used what God, the discrepancy God had with David was to Solomon's gain. It's personal for me because my father's the one who started this church. I sometimes think, man, my dad should get more credit and glory than he gets if we could use vernacular like that. You know what I mean. He laid it down, man. He's the one who left a good job in the world and started the thing before 6 months before I was born. He's the one who opened up his house with my mom, and my bedroom was the nursery for the children's church. I'm still bitter about it. Those babies in my room. He's the one who had to go, you know, build this ground up. That's a whole nother venture of faith. I never had to do that. And I just think, you know, because Christians can be nasty. I get it. Maybe not everything was done perfectly by him. It's certainly not by me either. And God takes his life and uses it to build Calvary Westside. And then I believe the Lord orchestrates things the way that he saw fit for such a time as this and brings me in as he comes out, and I get to enter into something that I didn't build. I held his arms up. I was a part. Don't get it twisted. God will take your parents' mistakes, if you're the parent tonight, your mistakes, and he will use it for his glory and his good in your kids and in my kids' lives. And I rejoice in that tonight. You've read the lineage of Jesus Christ. You see who he comes from. Maybe you don't know. You need to go refresh yourself. Go read Matthew chapter 1 and see who Christ comes from. Bathsheba, Solomon's mom, the one that David had an affair with. Isn't that insane? Rahab the harlot. You look at who Jesus Christ comes into the world through, who his family tree is, and most would be a little bit ashamed of it. And some of you are ashamed of your family tree. Some of you are like, man, my family's dysfunctional. Show me a family that isn't dysfunctional. And the people that act like they're not dysfunctional are the worst of them all. The ones with their nose in the air, the preps, tucked in collared shirt with their pressed khakis, the worst of them all. Not literally outwardly, but I'm talking about internally. Like whitewashed sepulchers. They look perfect on the outside and they're dead bones inside. It disgusts Christ. You don't got to be embarrassed if you come from a divorced home. You don't got to be embarrassed if you're the child tonight of the world says you're a bastard. You don't got a father. Christ, they called him that. They literally called Christ that, if you didn't know. They mocked him. Joseph, oh yeah, it's strange. Your parents weren't even married. They had you out of wedlock. They trashed him. It's the savior of the world. His brother said he's crazy. He's out of his mind. Some of you think, man, you don't even know the curse that's been passed down from generation to generation. There is no curse. Christ broke the curse. You've been set free. You've been set free. We got tendencies. Listen, I got tendencies, and I do things my parents did. I hear my mom and my dad in me when I'm dealing with my kids or my wife sometimes, and I got to work through it. It's just, you're around it. You become like what you surround yourself with. Don't overthink it. Honestly, we're all really similar. We got the same parents, you know. Men and women of like passions. Oh, but the Italians. Yeah, the Irish are just as bad. I'm married to one. The Germans, yeah, they're nuts. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just everybody. It's all the human race. You know something? We all come from Adam and Eve, and then the Lord wiped everybody off the earth besides Noah, his wife, and his three sons and their wives. And then everybody came from those three boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. If you're from Japheth, you're very close to my kin. That's Europe. But there's Japheth, Shem, Ham. They're all three of the boys. You all come from one of them. So we're all from the same family. We're all men and women of like passions. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and it's the pride of life. None of us are like estranged to one another's flaws. We all get it. We just act like we don't sometimes. Nothing to be ashamed of tonight. Nothing to be ashamed of. Some of us grown men need a good cry. Nothing to be ashamed of. We've gone through stuff. Nothing to be ashamed of. He's going to use it all for his glory. And he wants to be your father. He said, David, I'm going to be your son's father. Those words, you know what? Don't get overwhelmed. I'm going to hang in chapter 22 tonight. Because I don't want you to think like, oh no, the board said chapter 24. I'm not going to chapter 24. The Lord says to David something that I don't think you could appreciate. If you don't have kids tonight, you won't appreciate it. He says to David, it had to have been so comforting. He goes like this, I'm going to be his father, and your son is going to be my son. Is there greater words than that could be said to an earthly mom and dad? Your kid's going to be saved, and he's going to know me as a father, and I'm going to know him as a son or her as a daughter. I pray that prayer on my knees every day for my kids. My kids got the worst chance out of everybody in the room, by the way. The pastor's kids are the most messed up all the time. No, honest. It's so unfair being the pastor's kids. Everybody thinks they're supposed to be angels. And there's this, I'm going to rebel, because you're in such a fishbowl unfairly. So what the prayer of my heart is, and I think the prayer of your heart is too, is that your kids would walk with the Lord one day and know the Lord. John says there is no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. So imagine these words for David. Hey, David, you don't have to, not only are you going to get the privilege here to set your son up to build this real estate, and you're going to build the boy, but in the process of all of that, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be gone one day, and when you're gone, I'm going to be his father, and he's going to be my son, which has a whole slew of meaning. You know what that means? Man, we're going to get into it sometimes. He's going to get a spanking sometimes. But the Lord chastises those who he loves. So I'm going to go after him, and I'm going to woo him, and I'm going to bring him continuously over myself. I've got this, David. I've got plans and purposes for your lineage that are beyond your wildest imaginations, even though you've messed up, even though your family's a wreck. You guys know something? David was a bad dad. He just didn't do really well at being a dad. He was really great at a lot of things, great psalmist, great, great worshiper, great shepherd, great warrior, not a great dad. Just, it was a difficult thing for him. Turmoil in the home. He had a daughter raped by one of his sons. You guys know that. Amnon raped Tamar. Absalom rebelled. You know, Absalom, his son, had sex with his wives, his concubines, in his palace at nighttime when it was all lit up on the top of Jerusalem. You guys know about that? You thought your family was dysfunctional. Who's his son? Starts with an A. Adonijah. He's going to try to take the throne after David dies from his son Solomon. It's crazy what goes on in David's family. And God just says this, none of it overwhelms me. I like this family. So with all due respect, it's almost like the Lord's not crazy, but he likes crazy a little bit. He does. It's obvious that he does. He's drawn to people who understand there's nothing in me dwells no good thing. Do you all know that in you dwells no good thing? Or do I got to spend a few minutes to convince you that you're no good? What did Pastor teach you Wednesday night? You're no good. You're worse than your worst enemy says that you are. I'm worse than my worst enemy says that I am. We know these things. And the Lord's okay with it in the sense of he's got it. He's going to make something beautiful. I really want you to be encouraged tonight. The Lord's just slowed my pace. I want you to know that he's not ashamed. Remember we learned on Sunday? He's not ashamed to be called your father. He doesn't blush when you walk into the room. Oh, no. This one always says something so stupid. This is the one at the family parties that's on the table dancing or doing something absurd. Among us tonight. Just don't do it yet. Let me finish my sermon. And the Lord just says, that's my kid, that's my son, that's my daughter, I'll be their father. I'm going to establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. So that's the Lord speaking to David. David's speaking to Solomon. What the Lord spoke to David about Solomon. Now David turns it back to his son in verse 11. And he goes like this, now, he says, my son. First of all, there's several things here I want to say to you. Number one, verse 11, the Lord be with thee. The Lord be with thee. Notice the order, the process the Lord has here. First, the most important thing, Solomon, is that the Lord be with you. And then it's that the Lord would prosper you. The Lord be with you, and the Lord prosper you, and build the house of the Lord your God, as he has said of thee. Only the Lord give you, verse 2, wisdom and understanding. Two different things. A lot of people got understanding. A lot of people got knowledge. It really doesn't do it quite good enough for you. Wisdom is the right application of knowledge and understanding. Okay? It's the drip from the head to the heart. It's that 12-inch drop, right? Knowledge, understanding is textbook smart. Like, I know how to do the math problem. I know the formula. I get it. The heart, wisdom, street smarts. Okay? You need both. If you just got head knowledge, you're never going to make it in this world. If you just got street smarts, you're always going to be conniving. You're always going to be scheming. You need both. The Bible speaks about both. God is going to give to Solomon wisdom, right application of knowledge, and understanding. It's a gift from God. But you can never separate, listen, these things apart from what he says next in verse 12. As long as you give charge concerning Israel, that you might keep the law of the Lord your God. Okay? You can't separate. These things are married. Wisdom and knowledge comes from the word of God. If you want wisdom and knowledge tonight, okay, if you're here and you're lacking, the Father says this to you, get in the word. Get in the word. Here he's speaking of the written law of the Lord, the law of Moses. That's the word of God. For you and I here tonight, you can't get wisdom and knowledge if you're not in the word of God. You got to get into the word, let the word get into you, and you'll have the knowledge and the wisdom that you need to know what you need to do. If you're lacking tonight, if you're lost, if you've been making bad decisions, if you're constantly faltering and falling, get in the word of God. Let the word of God get back into you once again. Let it cleanse you. Let it heal you. Let it direct you. Let it guide you. That's the key. You can't get these characteristics from the Lord apart from his word. There is no easy way. Then you shall prosper if you take heed to fulfill the statutes and the judgments, verse 13, which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel, and that is this: be strong and of good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed. Now, he says, my son, behold, in my trouble, remember, he's a seasoned warrior, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold. Are you ready? That's over 3,700 tons of gold. 3,700. It's 3,750 tons of gold. And I have prepared for you 1,000 talents of silver. You know what that is? That's 1,000,000 talents of silver. That equates to 37,500 tons of silver. God used David's buddy's hands. He got it from, it's the booty of the enemy. He got it from beating people up, taking, subduing the heathen nations around them. You think about the amount here of treasure that he provides. Again, 3,750 tons of gold, 37,500 tons of silver, and of brass and iron, end of verse 14, without weight. There was not even a weight to be given because there's so much. For it is in abundance. Timber also and stone, I did it. Here's the word again. I prepared it that you might have it for yourself. Moreover, there are workmen. I already hired the union guys. I already got the electricians, the plumbers, the masons. I already did it. There's already workers in abundance. Hewers, workers of stone, timber, all manner of cunning men for every manner of work, of the gold, of the silver, of the brass, of the iron. There's no number, he says. Arise, therefore. Here's a word of the Lord for some of you here tonight. Back to application. Watch it. Ready? Here it goes. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. Underline it. Do squigglies underneath it. Highlight it, date it, mark it. Listen to what the Lord says. Arise. You got to get up. You got to stop staying in your stoop, your slumber. You got to get up. You got to get to your feet. God's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you. You've got to respond to his call tonight. You got to arise. Get out of the depression. Get out of the funk. Get out of the darkness, that dark closet space the devil's constantly trying to seek to push you down into. You got to get out of bed. You got to get out of bed. You got to get out of bed and brew some coffee and open your Bible and sit before the throne of Jesus Christ. You got to arise. Okay, the Lord's not going to arise you for you. You got to arise. Arise, he says, and be doing. Don't you like that? Listen to the tenses. Get going. Get going, he's saying. Solomon, you got to arise. Guys, you got to arise. He needs your help. My son needs your help. Everything's been done. The greater David says that to you and I tonight. Everything's been done. The gates of hell can't prevail. They won't prevail. Listen, everything's already been purchased by the blood. He's already done it all. Everything is yes and amen in him. But you got to do it. Now get up and do it. Be doing. And the Lord be with you. That's the guarantee of your success. The Lord's with you. The Lord's with you. Right? The Lord be with you. The Lord be with you. Right? The Lord is with you. He's with you. Now go. Go do what he's asked you to do. Arise and get going. No more excuses. No more talking about the lineage you come from. How messed up your dad is, your granddad, and your grandmother, and your ethnicity, and the culture you come from, and the upbringing you had. Stop with the upbringing you had. We all had crazy upbringings.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.